I am so excited to have her because she literally was amazing. Watching her work in Carson City was a joy. She is Annie Black, Assemblywoman, District 19, and she joins us. Annie, how you doing? You back home now?
I am. Happy anniversary, Kevin.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We endured a lot, but we got through it, and we got to the other side, and now it's on to 2021. And our second year, I guarantee you, will be more fun than the first year. Hey,
it has to be, right?
I know. Tell me what your first experience was like in the legislature. I'm curious.
I wouldn't say it was a great experience. I think the most eye-opening part of the whole situation was really being disappointed by our own people and our own party. I it's one of those things that you kind of know, but you don't really understand until you get there. And so that's got me really fired up for 2022 and beyond, and really into working on getting some really great conservatives elected, because we're going to have to do that.
Well, let me just ask you, you made the decision before the session began that you were going to not caucus with your fellow Republicans. Is that a decision that you think you made the right way, or do you think maybe you made it in error? Would you do it if you had it to do over again? Would you do it the same way?
I would. I mean, unfortunately, I wish I hadn't been vindicated in that decision, but I feel like I was. Based on the fact that leadership, Dr. Titus appointed Tom Roberts and Jill Tolles, who turned out to be and continue to be two huge rhinos that ended up voting for the huge mining tax and other. I mean, I feel like we haven't run the numbers for the whole session yet, but they vote with Democrats more than they vote with Republicans, it felt like. And I'm going to be going back and dissecting all the votes like we did earlier on in the session, but we just can't have people like that in leadership of the Republican caucus. Just doesn't work.
Let me go through some of the numbers, and I'm talking about the bill numbers. AB 321, and we know what that is. It made universal stay-at-home voting, mail voting, and ballot harvesting permanent. Is that something that we're simply going to have to get better as a party with? I mean, if the Democrats can do ballot harvesting and make something of it, can we do that too?
Absolutely. And the reality is we wanted to fight it. We didn't want it to happen. But since it happened, we can't sit around complaining that it happened any longer. We have to actually get with the program and play the game, or we're going to be at a serious disadvantage.
Let me run down just a couple of the key bills and your thoughts about them. SB 420, the bill about the public option. First of all, it doesn't take full effect until 2026. Do you think it will survive the test of time? Because it could be that Republicans gain control of the Assembly and the State Senate, and it's possible that law may never, ever be implemented. Do you think it'll be implemented?
Well, I sure hope not. I mean, we know that the government doesn't do a great job at running education. What makes us think that they would do a great job at running health care? And I just don't believe in that public option at all. But like you said, who knows if it actually takes effect that far down the line. I mean, we're going to have, I think, in 2022 a red wave year, and hopefully we can capitalize on it and pick up some more seats and maybe the governor and maybe stop that from ever going into effect. But, we've got a lot riding on the next couple of years' elections, I think.
AB 495, it's the mining tax bill, and you referenced it. Is it possible that there is an explanation for why some Republicans crossed over the fact that the mining industry asked for it just to begin? Is it possible that there is a logic to doing that bill rather than going to a constitutional amendment?
Is there a reason that Republicans could justifiably vote for it?
And that's the excuse, at least one of the excuses we've heard, is that, well, the mining industry asked for it. They thought it would be less onerous than taking it to the voters and letting them, you know, add to the money that they're going to have to pay.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's an argument that you want to make. The thing in the legislature is, well, we took the bill, and instead of it being a steak knife, we turned it into a butter knife. I mean, the problem I have with that is, and as I told mining, it's not going to be over. They get a little bit now, they'll get a little bit in two more years, and it's never going to stop. You can't negotiate with terrorists, and I feel like this is exactly what they did. I mean, sure, mining asked for Republicans to support this because they had a gun to their head, and because what was the alternative? But that doesn't make it right. And we know with education, there's inverse results. We keep throwing money at it, and instead of getting any improvement, we're going the opposite direction. So, you know, I know that it would have maybe put mining in a worse situation with the ballot initiatives, but that's a fight that I think that we should have gotten into because we're going to be battling potentially those other two initiative petitions for the sales tax and for the gaming tax. You know, the teachers union is trying to remove those from the ballot, but I don't know if that's going to happen. So could be bad all the way around.
Again, joining us is Annie Black, Assemblywoman, District 19, from the Pride of Mesquite. And I got to ask you, because this is something that, you know, folks on the left are crowing, and the governor's doing a bill signing, kind of a victory tour around the state. And that is the money that they added to education, something like $500 million and maybe more. And I just want to ask you, as far as education, we're throwing all this money at education. Is it going to be any better? Are we going to move from 50th to 35th or to 30th maybe?
Well, if we're basing it on history, then no. I mean, we haven't fundamentally changed anything with education. We're just throwing more money at it. And we've seen that historically, throwing more money at education hasn't gotten us any results. So I don't believe that it will make a difference. But, you know, I don't have a crystal ball, but I'm basing it on history. And if that's any indicator, then no, I don't expect that it's going to take us any place better than we are now.
Let me just ask you, one of the things you mentioned at the very top was the idea of vetting candidates and creating an environment where good, solid Republican conservatives can flourish in the legislature, state Senate, state assembly. And I'm curious, are we set up right now as a party to do that? Do you see any effort out there by the state party or by counties to do a better job of vetting candidates and making sure that we've got people that can articulate the message, that can self-fund if necessary, and most importantly, that can win? Are we set up for that right now? I mean, 2022 is not far away.
Well, I mean, we have potentially a leadership change happening in Clark County and in the state party. Who knows what's going to happen with that? But I don't think that we're going to, I mean, I think for all intents and purposes, speaking for myself, candidates have pretty much been on their own up until this point. So I don't know that the party structure is going to fundamentally change that for 2022. I think that what we have to start focusing on as a party, as human beings that are Republican, is saying, hey, if you tell me you're going to be a Republican when you get elected and then you start voting like a Democrat or more Democrat than Republican, we have to be willing to, as a party, as individuals, to call those people out and to primary them if that's what needs to be done. And historically, we've given these people cover, and I think that we need to stop doing that, because unfortunately, I feel like we're demoralizing our base more by electing these people that continue to lie to us and tell us they're going to be conservative, and then they're not. And I think we're doing more damage than good by doing that.
You have been, in the beginning at least, an army of one. You are now amassing Annie's army, and it's very, very impressive, the folks, not just from the state, but from out of state, that like what you're doing, that like your style. Will Annie's army be even bigger?
Oh, yeah, for sure. We're going to come July 4th, we're going to kick off some big stuff for Annie's Army. And really, I want to create an infrastructure and a support system for other people that want to be conservative. You know, it's not an easy thing to do in this state. Unfortunately, we're blue or dark purple. But I want to give people that want to be stalwarts of the conservative movement to have support. And that's what I'm trying to do with Annie's Army and with Annie Pack and with everything I'm doing, because this isn't something that one person can do alone.
Let me just ask you, I have been adamant that we need a better way of making laws in this state. And again, you did it for the first time, and I'm sure you're still in shock and awe of how they do, you know, how they do the sausage, so to speak. But I'm curious, do we need some sort of a study group or some sort of bipartisan effort to find a better way to make laws in this state?
No, what we need to do is we need to start saying that the Constitution sets these rules, and we need to follow the rules. If I had a dollar for every time that somebody in the legislature from both parties told me, well, this is the way it's always been done, I could self-fund my next campaign and run for governor and win. I mean, it's just, this is the mentality. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat. We have rules. And unfortunately, in the legislature, those rules are made and they're broken all the time. And that's just the way it goes. So, no, I don't think that we need a new process. We just need to hold our people accountable and say, hey, look, we know what you're doing. You're passing bills in the middle of the night. You're passing bills without letting us know what's in there, or even our legislators know what's in there. And there are rules against that. And you can't just suspend the rules when it's convenient. And we just got to start saying enough is enough. And if you don't follow the rules, we're not going to reelect you.
But aren't there Democrats out there, moderate, like-minded Democrats that would agree with Annie Black and say, you know, the way we're doing this really is screwed up?
No, because I think the narrative is, right, the Democrats would love to go to a full-time legislature. So they love this idea that, hey, we're working till the midnight hours on the last days of session because bill deadlines because, you know, the rule, there's just not enough time. And the reality is that's an artificial creation that I think they're going to try to use to, unfortunately, turn us into a full-time legislature. And I actually want to go back. I want to go back and I want to track all the hours that were on the floor, all the days that we were in session where there were no committee meetings or we were never on the floor. And I actually want to show people, hey, of the 120 days, this is how many days that your legislators were in committee. This is how many days they were on the floor passing bills. Because that will right there will tell you that we don't need more time to legislate. We just need to do a better job at legislating. And it's not even do a better job. This is an intentional thing. It's an intentional thing that they do so that you're stressed out. You're at the end of session. It's the middle of the night. You don't know what's in these bills, and they just put you in this situation where your hands are tied. And in the minority, there's not much you can do about it. But what I will say is Republicans have done the same thing in the past, so I can't totally fault Democrats for it.
I was just going to say, by the way, Annie Black joining us, Assemblywoman, District 19. I'm glad you mentioned that. This has been Republicans, too. That's why I'm asking, would some sort of bipartisan commission or something to study how to do this thing better? Or do we just, have to just say, hey, we got to be better politicians. We got to elect more conservative Republicans, and we got to take control. But then we're going to do the same thing that the Democrats did.
Right. You know, two wrongs don't make a right. I will not make excuses for Republicans that have done this in the past, and I know that they have, but that doesn't mean that we need to continue to do it in the future. And if we had, even in the minority that we had in the last session, if we had some strategy implemented, there were ways to slow down the process and be strategic about holding these guys accountable. There were things that we could have done. There's just no strategy. There's no organization. And I'm not wholly convinced that that's not intentional. I mean, I hate to say that, but sometimes it felt like we were just rolling over for them. And for what, I don't know.
I will simply tell you that I'm so impressed by how you conducted yourself. You were taken off the floor. You were denied a right to vote. And by the way, are you going to do anything about that?
I'm working on doing something about it right now, but unfortunately, you know, we're not allowed to fundraise 30 days after session or during session, and obviously legal fees are not free. We're not Democrats, so we don't have attorneys on standby, but I am still working on it, because at the end of the day, even for those couple of days that I couldn't vote, there was probably over 100 votes that I missed because of that, and then that means that there were people in Henderson, North Las Vegas, Mesquite, Overton that weren't represented in things, and that's just not right. So,
if I know we've got fundraising restrictions after the session, if folks want to help you now or 30 days from now, how do they go about doing it?
The best thing for people to do is to go to my website, annieblack.net, and sign up for my newsletters. And as soon as we're able to fundraise, or as soon as we're able to start activating people to help other candidates, I would love to get everybody involved. So if you just go to my website, annieblack.net, and sign up, I'd love to have your support.
Annie, thanks so much. Appreciate it. And we'll talk again soon, I promise.
All right. Happy anniversary, man.
Thank you. Annie Black, Assemblywoman, District 19.